this team's going to figure itself out. And if it's not, well, there's always next year.
Welcome in to show number 55 here on the Pucknologist, Mealtown USA. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud. Give us a review on iTunes. Enjoy it on any podcast platform of your choosing. And as always, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Tealtown USA. I'm AJ underscore strong on those social media channels. And with me tonight, of course, is Rocket Backhander.
Yo, what up?
And joining us a little later in the show, filling in for Hockey Jerk, is the one and only Kevin Kurz from The Athletic. So let's get into the week that was in Sharks hockey. The boys have gone 2-2-1, good for 12-8-4 on the season for 28 points, first in the division still, yet dropped from third to fifth in the conference this week. Three games happening versus Edmonton, versus Vancouver, and at Vegas. We'll start with Edmonton. Coach Todd McClellan finding himself in that rare spot of being the only coach to ever be fired twice in the city of San Jose, getting fired the morning of this game, replaced with Ken Hitchcock. The Sharks would yet allow, again, three goals, and they would lose 51 seconds into overtime. A power play goal would have been nice in this one as the boys went 0 for 3. Then we see Vancouver come in to finish the six-game homestand, and the Sharks would take a 4-0 victory. Now, let's call this one what it is. The Vancouver Canucks were coming into this one like on an 0-8 streak, but San Jose with Dell shutting them out. Radil would get his first NHL start in place of Suomela in this one, and Timmy Heed would slot in for his second start of the season in place of Joakim Ryan, and Roussel would lose his mind and try to eat pickles during a game. Don't see that very often. Sharks would score 3 of 4 on the power play, making their most successful night of special teams ever. But Vancouver would lose their 8th straight. Dell would get both Sharks shutouts this season, by the way. And Erik Karlsson heats up 8 points, 2 goals and 6 assists in the 5 games leading up to this one. And then it would all go right down the crapper in Vegas, a 6-0 shutout. What a loss, and a rare back-to-back start for Aaron Dell. Third straight road loss for the Sharks, and they would give Las Vegas their fastest goal in franchise's limited history. Kane, Goodrow, and DeBoer would all get tossed in this one. Suspect officiating at its finest, although when they booted Reeves, I think we all kind of went, well, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often. But that's the way it was. So we get into, of course, those three games, and the good, the bad, and the ugly.
AJ Sound.
Good and bad and the ugly. For me, the good, recently, the power play is 5 for its last 17 chances, good for 29% over those 5 games. Erik Karlsson had himself a week. It's about time for that. I think we're all thinking that was a little overdue. And the Sharks would go 4-1-1 over their 6-game homestand. Good Rocket.
Joe Pavelski is doing great, and Joe Thornton is still in one piece.
Wow.
I'm gonna start doing that and be like, the time is now 8:01 Central Time, November 25th, 2018, and Joe Thornton is still in one piece.
That's that chemistry with Sorensen, I'm telling you. The bad. Turnovers. Team defense, goaltending. The Sharks have allowed 3 or more goals in 15 of their 24 games so far. That's bad, people, and they should feel bad. Rock?
I don't know what system they're running or what they're thinking or what they're doing, but look, I know that this defensive core has a good work ethic and a lot of talent. So theoretically speaking, they should be fine. So it's confusing to me why I watch these games and I see them making these very egregious errors and, you know, missed assignments, et cetera, et cetera. Missed assignments. You're not even at the right high school, buddy. Come on. Like, that's how bad they are. I don't want to say it's on the players individually, because behind every team is the coaching staff. So I kind of wonder if this coaching staff is having a difficult time trying to fully tap into the powers of the talents of this team and still being successful with other teams, or maybe they're trying out different strategies and some of them just aren't hitting the nail on the head. I don't know, man. Something's just not going on. I'm not going to blame. I think you're right. You know, it is the players, it is goaltending, but I will take it one step further and say it's the coaching too. And I think the coaching needs to figure their identity out.
Could not agree with you more. We're going to get into coaching, I think, in a little bit.
I'm ranting. Sorry. No, you did say bad.
Oh, but now it's time for ugly. Now, when it comes to ugly, and this is something that we will discuss with Kevin Kurz a little bit later when we get into Shark Bites, but right now, the Sharks' worst save percentage in the NHL on 5-on-5. Vlasic leading the team, the worst 5-on-5 goals against ratio. We're talking Marc-Edouard Vlasic, like, hello, like usually the best defensive defenseman in the NHL and has been horrible of late. And my other ugly is if you go back and you look at that Edmonton game, I don't know what the hell Brent Burns and Joachim Ryan were trying to do. Now, I think maybe because of that, you saw Ryan in the press box on the next game versus Vancouver while they slotted in Timmy Heed, thinking maybe that might help things, because you look at that first goal, Ryan gets caught looking, Burns made like three bad plays all leading up to that first goal against. That was ugly, Rocket.
It's just, again, it goes to saying, like, these guys are not, they're not paint huffers, you know, they're not dumb. And for them to take this weird left-handed turn, it just makes me think that there's a lot more going on than just, well, the guys aren't producing and the guys aren't trying hard and, oh, we need to focus and we need more effort and et cetera, et cetera. I think that there's something deeply not, you know, like wrong, but I think that there's something else that nobody is really addressing. And I think that they're doing that on purpose. So good on them for not talking about whatever it is that needs to not be talked about, but it's pretty obvious something's not working.
Boy, if the boys were around, I mean, I know they flew back the day after Vegas. They flew essentially today as we're recording this. So the boys flew to Buffalo today. That means they got the evening in Vegas. What I wouldn't give to be the guy who drove the correct Uber car last night in LV. That's all I'm saying.
Nope. None of them took an Uber last night. None of them took a taxi. They all hired private cars. I'm telling you that.
You would hope. I think every team is doing that from now on.
Now on, yeah.
So that's the end of the good, the bad, and the ugly, which means it's time for the three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
And we start with your star, Rocket. Who is your star for these three games of Sharks hockey? I know it may be difficult to find one. Go ahead.
It is extremely difficult to find a star. I think it's just being a dramatic Sharks fan, to be honest, you know, because they're really not, aside from being inconsistent, when they're good, they're as good, or if not as good, better than expected, which is great. It means, you know, they're supposed to be where they're at. And when they have an off night, they have an off night. You know, but I mean, that's what my history in the kitchen is like. Either everything is a four-course meal with like seven different forks, three different knives, two different place settings, six different kinds of ice cream, or it's just there's a smoke alarm going off. You know, there's sirens coming from several different places. The downstairs neighbors are yelling at me, and for some reason, I've got like a nuclear experiment happening in my kitchen. There's never any just sort of like, well, it was great, except you slightly burnt the peas. It's never anything just in between. It's either amazing or it's a super fun site. That's what this team is. Me, my cooking history, and this team are the same. The only difference is, like, you can come out of my kitchen with leftovers. I'm not quite sure you can come away with this. Oh, I guess you can, but it's all emotional leftovers.
Out of that whole thing, I didn't hear a player named. Who's your star? Name somebody.
Like, on. That's how this, okay. So I told you that to tell you this. I think that I'm just going to go ahead and pick Joe Thornton again because he's in one piece.
I'm good with that. Yeah, three assists over those three games. So I'm more than fine with that. Yeah. I think I'm going to slot in and pick Jerks for him since he is not here. And I'll just go with the obvious one, EK65. Again, you know, I mentioned it before. Carlson, 8 points, 2 goals, 6 assists in the 5 games before Vancouver. So I think he's starting to heat up a scotch. Again, that was for Jerk. So EK65 for that. And for me, I don't think it's an obvious one, but the thing that I liked is Marcus Sorensen. The kid's got a ton of speed. I think him and Thornton are clicking really well. Sorensen, I think you'd be hard pressed to pick anybody who was solid in that game against Vegas, but I do remember Sorensen laying some hits. You could tell this kid was pissed off about the score, and he seemed to be almost pissed off at maybe some of his teammates not perhaps responding the way he might have liked. So I don't know. Not him, but Sorensen, you get my third star. And for that,
oh, good for you.
Time for Shark Bites. And now joining us from an undisclosed hotel room near, I'm assuming, walking distance from KeyBank Center in Buffalo, Kevin Kurz from The Athletic. How are you this evening?
Good, good. Yep, it is walking distance, so that'll come in handy for the next couple of days.
So, for Sharks Bites, so just to kind of highlight what happened versus Vegas, you know, it's not often that you see three guys get ejected, but also a coach. And now, Kevin, we know that you've caught some grief lately from Peter DeBoer over some of your questions, whether it was about a concert or whether it was the inconsistency or this team playing 500. I don't know. I mean, maybe he was a little touchier than normal during Q&As. I mean, who knows how many contentious interviews you've had with coaches. Do you think that PDB, do you think it was just the specific game and the lack of effort from the team last night? Or I believe he's in the final year of his deal, and so far 24,
yeah.
You know, it's 24 games in, and it's got his lowest point total. I mean, do you think maybe he's feeling the hot seat? Is a combination of all those things?
Well, I mean, if you're just talking about last night, I'm sure, you know, he was obviously not going to be in a good mood after a 6-0 loss and he gets thrown out of the game. And, you know, I would think he would have expected a better effort from his team against the rival in the Pacific Division that knocked you out of the playoffs last year. You know, you're coming in having, you know, had a pretty good homestand at 4-1-1. You know, they weren't very good on the 2-game road trip before. This was a real opportunity to start this tough five-game road trip off on a good start. And, you know, they laid an egg. It was horrible. It was not only were they not playing very well, I think in a lot of respects, they embarrassed themselves. And that includes Pete, you know, getting thrown out of the game. That's never something I think you want to be proud of, no matter who you are, no matter what the situation is. So, you know, as to the question, it was a fair question. And as far as I'm concerned, it hasn't been a very consistent team this year. Just when it looks like they start to get it going a little bit, we see them throw a game like this out there. And it's happened a couple of times. You know, we saw it happen in St. Louis. You know, the road trip wasn't perfect. They beat a bad Vancouver team. They lost to Toronto. They almost blew a lead to, you know, Nashville. We've just seen, I think, too many moments this season where the team just seems to go to sleep. And they just, for whatever reason, whether it's mental or physical or whatever it is, you know, those complete 60-minute games haven't been there. And it's surprising because really, to me, last year, with a team that wasn't as talented, that was the one thing I think we could all count on, was that team was going to go out there and work hard for just about all 60 minutes. You know, every team's going to have a couple games where they're not very good and they get run out of the building. But I think we've seen more games this season where that's happened than we did all of last year.
Absolutely. I mean, we all remember the stinker in Dallas on New Year's Eve last season.
Right.
What in the world was that? But yeah, getting back to it, it's like 24 games in and His first year was 28 points, then 29, then 30, now at 26. And as you mentioned, essentially a team that is this skilled and talented playing 500 hockey and only at the top of their division because they play in a really, really weak division.
Yeah.
I would think that, and plus we've already seen two coaches in the Pacific Division shown the door. So
yeah, well, I don't buy any of that. I don't think he's on the hot seat. Now, you know, being it's the last year of his contract, you know, we don't know if he got extended because, you know, the Sharks don't release that sort of information. So, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes in terms of that. That's not something I can really touch on, but, you know, it's worth mentioning, as you did. But I don't think, you know, I don't think he's on any sort of hot seat. I think any suggestion about that is kind of ridiculous because you look at back. If the season is a football game, we're in the first couple minutes of the second quarter. You don't replace your quarterback because he had a bad first quarter. If your quarterback is shown to be, you know, a pretty good one over the last 3 years. And what Pete DeBoer has done is each of his 3 years here, I think he's had the team playing its best hockey come playoff time. Obviously, his first season, they go to the cup final. Second season, he got, you know, screwed a little bit when Logan Couture and Joe Thornton both got hurt in the final 2 weeks or whatever it was. And then last year, you know, he loses Thornton, brings in Kane, and the team kind of has to reinvent its identity. And they gave Vegas probably their toughest out until the Washington Capitals. So I think you look at this bigger picture, you know, he has gotten it figured out. The team's gotten it figured out. But that said, is there reason to be concerned with the way some of these games have gone in the first, you know, 7 weeks of the season? I would say absolutely there's some reason to be concerned.
And now when you talk about being concerned, what do you focus on? Are you looking at kind of the goaltending? I mean, it's worst save percentage in the NHL at 5-on-5. Vlasic is leading the team at worst 5-on-5 goals against ratio. Is it more the team defense in front of the goaltenders?
Yeah, I mean, it's both of them. You know, it's never one or the other. That's why, you know, you have these arguments on Twitter with people. Or, you know, it's like, listen, the goalie cannot be playing. It's possible the goalie isn't playing well, and it's possible the team in front of him isn't playing well either. And it's a combination of both here. I don't think there's any question about that. Martin Jones is going to have to be better. The team defense is going to have to start playing a little bit more structured. And that includes the forwards, you know. And you look at Erik Karlsson, and, you know, I don't think it was a very good start. And even Pete DeBoer said this first 10 games, there were moments where, you know, it wasn't very good. I think you're starting to see moments now where the forwards are a little bit more aware of what Carlson's going to do. You know, you look at in the defensive zone, the gaps are there. I think they're expecting the little short passes from him now that lead the other way. They're, you know, they can, you know, they're expecting some of those fantastic backhand passes that he's able to, you know, kind of, you know, throw across from one side of the ice to the other, it seems. So, you know, Carlson's getting better, but everybody else, you know, Vlasic to me has been the most disappointing player on the roster this season. Where is his intensity? Where is his fire? Is he a guy who Pete said that everyone has to check their ego at the door because of the amount of star power on this team? Is Vlasic maybe a guy that's having trouble doing that? I think far too often we've seen, you know, we haven't seen him play his game, and we all know how much this team has relied on him defensively to shut down the opposition's top line throughout the last few years. That's why he's got that big contract. That hasn't been happening, but he's far from the only perpetrator of that. I think everybody could play with a little bit more mental focus and a little bit more fire. And it's kind of baffling that it hasn't shown up on a more regular basis so far.
Couldn't agree more. Now, just to get into it for a second for the last game versus Vegas, have you ever seen a game like that where it just seemed like the officials just, I don't know if they had I don't know what was going on with them last night, but just a really bizarre, I don't know, just very thin skin in a game.
It was kind of a strange game. Now, you know, you say thin skin. I have no idea what Evander Kane was saying down there at ice level. I have no idea what Pete DeBoer was saying at ice level. I know what he told us after the game. And, you know, I'll take Pete at his word. But, you know, it's hard for us to really judge, I think, that sitting up in the press box so far away or watching it on TV, because we're not quite sure what's going on, what has happened up throughout the game to that point. You know, a lot of times refs will warn guys about certain things or certain plays. You know, we don't necessarily see that. So, you know, who knows what was happening? Did they miss the call? I think they missed a few calls in the first period. Evander Kane indicated he was still pretty ticked off about them missing a high stick on him earlier. And, you know, it's fair enough. Right? If you get whacked in the face with a stick, you expect it to be a penalty. So I can understand why he's a little bit frustrated with that. But at the same time, I think you got to channel your anger, not necessarily towards the refs. You got to channel your anger towards the other team. You got to look at yourself and say, why the heck are we down 5-0 here? What's going on? And you know, everyone's fine, I think, with a little fire, with a little emotion, but I don't think they handled themselves very well after they got down big. I would have liked to see them, you know, keep it more on the ice.
That would have been nice. Finally, how do you like the deployment of these lines? Obviously, Thornton playing some, it's hard to kind of phrase it correctly. I don't want to call it limited minutes per se, but we're talking about a guy coming back, two knee surgeries that we all know of, but it seems like Pavelski with Kane and Donskoy is working well. We know that Couture, Hurdle, Meyer working fantastic. Suomela has been hit and miss. We've seen him go down to the fourth while Thornton's taken over that third spot with LeBanc. What changes would you make to that fourth line? Or do you think that PDB might address it? Because we've seen like Melker's -6, Goody's -4. I'm not, you know, saying by any stretch that statistic is the end all be all. But when you see a guy like Perron doing really well with the CUDA, do you think that maybe he deserves a call up versus a Radil or someone?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder getting to the point where they try some new guys in there. Because, listen, the fourth line is most nights it's not going to win or lose you the game. But we saw how important it was in the first round of that Anaheim series last year. And it was the Sharks' best line over the course of the four games. And Barkley, Goodrow, Melker, Carlson, I mean, what are these guys, what's their identity? What are they going to bring to the table that is allowing them to contribute to the team? You know, Barkley, Goodrow's tried starting two fights, and both times he's gotten misconducts or penalties out of it, not misconducts, but the Toronto game and then last night. I'd like to see him, you know, use his big body. He's got to be a little bit more physical guy. He's got to be more of that, play that fourth line role. Melker Carlson hasn't been very good. He's a guy that I commonly see on social media, people wondering why is he still in the lineup? It's a valid question. You know, I think it's mostly because he's a pretty good penalty killer and Pete likes the way he works and whatnot, but you know, he could be a whole lot better, I think. So, you know, are we getting to a point where they maybe try some new players? Maybe we're not there yet, but I think we're getting there. Because, you know, after all, you do have to remember that they are still in first place here in the division. We are still pretty early in the season. It's, you know, I know it's getting, after Thanksgiving, it starts to ramp up a little bit. So we'll see. But, you know, as for Joe Thornton, I think he's gotten progressively better. Now, he wasn't very good last night, like just about everybody else. But I thought he was very good the game before that. I thought he was the Sharks' best forward in the Edmonton game. And, you know, that's a good sign, because if Joe Thornton stays healthy and he, you know, he can be a contributor and play at that 40 to 50 point pace, which is what I believe he is on now, at least over the course of an 82 game season, that's a line that could really generate matchup problems for the opposition. So, you know, I think Joe Thornton's play is pretty encouraging sign here from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I've really liked him, the chemistry that he's seemed to have found rather quickly with Sorensen, and who knew that Eric Fair was the key to the fourth line? I mean,
well, he was good. I mean, I remember thinking after the season was over, what would be the harm in giving him a 1-year, $1 million contract? Now, obviously they were waiting to find out what happened with Tavares, and that's fair enough, but he was a good player when he was here. And again, you go back to the playoffs, he was a pretty key contributor there down the stretch and in that first round.
Sharks, as you said at the beginning, heading out on this road trip, kind of reminiscent of the road trip that started their season, where it was, you know, essentially one game in their own time zone and then four back in the Far East, if you will. Buffalo on a 9-game winning streak, hottest team in the NHL. Now, granted, the Sharks so far this season have done well facing the hottest team in the NHL at that point. How do you see this game shaking out on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo is a building that we all know historically they haven't been very good in, you know, and really, there's probably, you're not going to put any, you know, weight on a game from 1998 as to what's going to happen tomorrow. But what you do put weight in is that first game where you fly across the country and you change three time zones is always the hardest one. And tomorrow could very well be the hardest game of the road trip, just because, you know, they will be coming off that game in Vegas, the 3-hour time change. They flew in today instead of last night. obviously Buffalo's playing well. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond from that 6-0 game. You know, I'm waiting for this team to show a little bit of fire, show a little bit of heart. And if it's going to happen, you know, it should happen tomorrow, it should happen on Tuesday, because, you know, they got their butts kicked pretty good against Vegas. You would think they'd want to respond and get this going in the right direction again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin Curtis from The Athletic. And hopefully we talk to you soon.
Okay, AJ, thanks.
You got it. Enjoy the trip.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And so we thank you very much, Kevin Curtis, for joining us and giving us your take. But now it's time for the Rocket and AJ Shark Bite segment. Versus Vegas, we saw refs Kyle Raymond, Ian Walsh eject Ryan Reeves, Evander Kane, Barkley Goodrow, and coach Peter DeBoer. Kane getting the door for quote unquote abuse of an official, while DeBoer would get shown the exit for asking a question. Since when do refs need a safe space?
It's not about that. It's a respect thing. And I think that as an official, you understand, and even as a coach and a player, a professional, you understand that there is a level of sportsmanship that is expected of you that perhaps the guys in beer league don't need to hold themselves to. And, you know, there's repercussions. And if you don't have self-control, there's a consequence for that. You can't just be like, well, the referee made me so mad that I said a bunch of stuff. It's the referee's fault. No, bud, sorry. Ultimately, the only thing that you have control over, total and complete control over, is yourself. So I don't know what they did. I don't think that the referees had thin skin in this one, but I do believe that there is substantial nasty beef between Vegas and San Jose that's left over from last year. Maybe just a scotch.
See, I need to take the kind of other side of this. The refs need to take into account what is happening in the game. The Sharks are down 5-0 already. And you have to know that these guys are going to be a little testy. And, you know, Kane gets the interference call or whatever. You know that everybody on the team is going to be pissed off. But to give him 10 for saying probably something that, you know, like F this or F, you know, this is effing BS or whatever was said, I think the official needs to at least take into account that, look, you're down 5-0. These guys are going to be a little pissed off. If you want to give Kane the exit and make an example and say, look, as officials, we're not going to take that and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I have no problem with that. But the one that I really have the problem with is, why are you giving DeBoer the exit? All he did was ask a question, basically saying, calling attention to the fact where it's kind of like, hey, did it make you feel good to run Kane when we're down 5-0? Couture, you know, one of our best players is sitting on the bench and we're getting run out of the building and you decide to, you know, toss this guy. Did that make you feel good? PDB, he didn't cuss. He didn't say any of the magic words, but nonetheless got shown the door.
Yeah, except that these referees have over 1,600 games and the NHL played between them. So I kind of tend to defer to their experience as, you know, being in that referee position in general on as a whole. I don't think that they're wet behind the ears and are overreacting to anything. Okay. You got to look at that and you got to understand, like, I know it seems like a lot, but hey, guess what? Maybe it was a lot. The truth is out there, AJ. I'm just saying.
I'll ride with you on Kane, but I can't do it with PDB. I thought that was weak. He didn't say any of the magic words. He just questioned their intelligence or integrity. I don't know. But either way, it did seem a little silly. From what we know, because it was bandied about on Twitter at the time, I believe this is the first time a coach has ever been ejected from a game for the Sharks in 28 years. Now, that really says something when you consider that Daryl Sutter coached this team for like 6 years. But anyway.
Boy. No, I told you Pete's got resting nap face. And he listened to the show and he's like, oh, I got to show more emotion. Okay. And now he just took it to the other side.
That's what it was.
That's exactly what it was. That makes total sense. Okay. Never mind. Mystery solved.
Yeah, and but it does make you wonder if it's time to start thinking about Pete DeBoer's replacement. Now, there's going to be a lot of people going, oh, my God, what the hell are you talking about? But I'm just going from a historical perspective. Now, hear me out on this. Back in, like, 2012, PDB takes the job of head coach for the New Jersey Devils, takes that team all the way, funnily enough, to the Stanley Cup Final his first season. The next 2 years, doesn't do anything. And then I believe it was 34 games into his fourth season, he is replaced. Just saying, then a year later, he gets hired. The first year, he takes the team to the Stanley Cup Final. The next two seasons, doesn't do anything truly remarkable. And now we're in the fourth year, and this team, as it stands, has the lowest point total over those four seasons after 24 games played.
And somewhere. Gen X is just sitting back in his little chair going, see, what have I been telling you?
Oh, dude, Gen X is just, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that Stephen Colbert gif where it's literally a huge banner that drops behind him that says, I told you so, in massive. That's
him.
Gen X.
Yep, that's him.
So, I mean, it makes you wonder when you have a coach that has this much freaking talent. Okay, this is... Who is different from 15, 16 to now? You know, we don't have Spalling. We don't have Pollock. We have Carlson. We have Evander Kane. This lineup is significantly better than the one in 15, 16, yet they aren't playing like it. You know what? Talk amongst yourselves. Have fun with the replace PDB. Oh, my God. How funny would it be to get T-Mac back? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I just did that to poke the bear and troll everybody for a hot second.
Oh, no, didn't we? Oh, no.
Just to poke the bear. So a couple of other items of note. Dylan Gambrell gets sent down. Not real deal. Lucas Radil gets called up and was not necessarily anything to write home about in his single game played. I would have rather continued looking at Gambrell. And I'm also wondering, is Šimek ever going to play, like, ever? We've already seen Timmy Heed tried twice. That hasn't worked. Now, granted, I know you get into the whole righty-lefty matchup, but when the D is playing this poorly, I think you can kind of throw righty-lefty matchups out the window at this point and just, you know, get people in there that want to play and play hard and play well. To add on to that, Francis Perron leads the CUDA in points right now. Melker Carlson, Barkley Goodrow, not exactly lighting the world on fire. Now, granted, Carlson, really good penalty killer, as Goodrow can be as well. And obviously, we spoke about that earlier with Kevin Kurz. Maybe Francis Perron would be the next one to bring up. How funny would that be, seeing as that he was the other piece that came along with Erik Karlsson? I would like to see that. So, and that should also just segue into a quick Barracuda update. After coming out gangbusters and winning 8 of their first 11, the Barracuda have lost 4 of their last 5. Granted, 2 of those coming in a shootout, but still, the fun fact being, the guy who came with EK65, Francis Perron, does lead the CUDA in points. I would like to see a call-up happen. Now, Rocket, this can't just be us, but last time we mentioned that there had been a week where no coaches had been fired. Within hours of our show, St. Louis would fire Mike Yeo. Edmonton would fire Todd McClellan. Is that us? Is it just us?
We have power, AJ. It's us.
Walking to the room, swinging it. So let's look at what the Sharks are going to be facing between now and the next time we speak with you. We got 4 games. This is the last 4 games of this 5-game road trip. We start off in Buffalo, as you heard Kevin Kurz earlier, sitting there walking distance from the arena. Buffalo comes into this in a 9-game winning streak. When has anybody ever talked about a team from Buffalo on a 9-game winning streak? I'm just saying. However, Sharks have done well so far in facing hot teams in the NHL. We saw them twice beat the Predators when they had the best records. So you would think that the Sharks want to atone for whatever the hell you called that in Vegas.
Except the very true historic shouldn't be a statistic, but is a statistic about how I think the Sharks have only won in Buffalo like one like over the last 13 years or something like that.
No. If I remember correctly, I think actually the show, like that's the way it was for the longest time. But I think the last two times, and unfortunately, I don't have the numbers in front of me. No,
they won last year here they won last year in Buffalo and they won last year in San Jose. The year before that, I think they won in San Jose, but not in Buffalo.
Okay, so it has happened is what we're saying.
Yeah,
so,
but like once in 13 years.
Hey, you know, lies, damn lies, and statistics, whatever. Well, this is, you know what? This has all the makings of a trap game for Buffalo. So we'll see what happens, but a 9-game winning streak. Oh, my God. Then following that up at Toronto. The Sharks get a shot at redemption just 2 weeks after playing some of their worst hockey versus Toronto. You thought the Toronto game was bad and then Vegas happened. I mean, there literally has been, I think it's about every 10 days, the Sharks just really kind of make a mess on the bed. There was the game against Columbus at the beginning of November. Then there was the Toronto game. Then this Vegas game. Yeah, it seems about every 10 days or so, the Sharks just lay an egg. And so hopefully there's some redemption at Toronto for that. However, we hope that they are not focused on the game afterwards at Ottawa. The return, of course, of Eric Karlsson. It'll be interesting to see. He's not going to get the ovation that Marleau did. But remember, Eric Karlsson left Ottawa on very, very, very good terms. The fans in Ottawa love him. They are pissed off that ownership let him go. They're not pissed off at him. So there will be a tribute video you can be aware of. There will be ovations. That's a game to look for. But that's also another one on paper. The Sharks should run Ottawa out of the building. So chances are the Sharks probably lose that 1-3-2. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. And then finally at Montreal. And, you know, of course, if the Habs really want to guarantee a win in this, they'll start Niemi.
God, I know you're joking, but I know you're not joking. Because, you know, like he's going to play 6 good games all year and this is going to be one of them. It's like every damn time he played Chicago when he was playing for San Jose, he played like he was Steven Seagal on steroids. It's like he doubled his Adderall dosage the night before, and he was just really on point, but it cost him for the next 2 weeks.
Well, those are the 4 that will be in the books by the time we speak with you next. Hopefully the Sharks, I mean, you look at that. That's Buffalo, again, best team in the NHL. Toronto doing very well. Ottawa, not so much. And Montreal kind of right there in the middle of the pack. So I think, look at that. I don't know. This road trip, I guess if you go 2-2-1, you're happy with it. So I think anything over 2-2-1 might be considered a victory at this point. And we'll see if Pete DeBoer is still coaching this team when they get back to San Jose. I'm kidding. Take it easy. I'm not totally kidding. Rock, that's 55 in the books. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you on the Soch. Make it sexy.
Yeah, I was going to put some sort of analogy in here about how there's a planetary wobble. So when the Earth spins around, it doesn't spin in a perfect circle. There's like this tilt. Boogies through the universe chasing the sun around the galaxy. And the thing about it is that it seems rotation pretty inconsistent, but when you pull back on the bigger picture, it's actually part of a larger pattern. You know, it's all very consistent. We're just early in it and all we can see is the individual patterns, man. It'll just, you know, it's the universes together, man. This team's going to figure itself out. And if it's not, well, there's always next year. I'm going to ride this teal wave out for the rest of the season and see what happens. Cause you never know. That's what I like about this team. It's better than a soap opera. I'm on the Twitter, RBackhander76, RBackhander76, or I'm taking lots of fun photographs of work, play, rodents, extraterrestrials, all sorts of fun things here in Nashville on Instagram, RocketBackhander1. AJ?
Hey, now, you know, we're 24 into this, guys. Third of the way through, a little over the third of the way. Get it together, man. This team has way, way too much talent on paper to be this pedestrian, mediocre. I mean, 24 games in and you're playing 500 hockey. Worst point total in 4 years at this mark under PDB with this much talent. Get it together.
Just win the game.
I'm not going that far, but I'm just saying. You can find me on the social at AJ_Strong on both Twitter and Instagram. Check our Teal Town Instagram because Teal Town USA, we're throwing some stuff on there from time to time. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but you know what? To hell with it. I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm gonna give away a prize this week.
Oh, we got prizes.
Okay. I'm not going to say what it is. Might be a t-shirt. Might be a figurine. Might be a pair of shark sunglasses. But we're going to give away something. And the reason why I'm doing this is because let's see how many people listen to the show and everything like that. So here's how you can win. I'm going to check iTunes in the next 48 hours. The first review that I seen, that I don't even care if it's a bad review, as long as it's honest. You know, if I see something on there where I read it and I go, like, oh, you know, Hockey Jerk has a terrible accent. Well, that's just false because he doesn't have an accent. But as long as it's an honest review, I'm down with that. So I'm going to look and we'll announce it next week's show. When I go on iTunes 48 hours from now, whatever is the one that I see, you know, we're recording this November 25th. So if I see a review that says left November 25th, November 26th, November 27th, whatever it is, I'm going to go and look. And the first one that I see, boom, that name will be announced next week. And then we'll figure out a way to slide into your DMs. You slide into our DMs, whichever it was, and you will be getting a prize. So there you go. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes, whatever podcast catcher you enjoy. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at Teal Town USA. 55 is in the book, kids, and we will see you next week. 456. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, and we out of here. I'm thankful for Rocket Backhander.
Aww. I have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.